After days of steady rain, Jackson, Mississippi is preparing for a major flood on the Pearl River, which could crest as soon as today. The city's mayor is warning people to get out now. Meanwhile, it's been more than a month since floods inundated eastern Kentucky. Many roads are washed out, and a lot of residents still don't have easy access to clean water. Olivia Krauth is a reporter with the Louisville Courier-Journal. She's been following a three-day special session at the state capitol to address the damage. Olivia, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So this flooding was catastrophic. At least 39 people died. Thousands of families lost everything. Your schools, many of them are still closed. We spoke with Sherry Stidham from Perry County, who says it's still very difficult out there.
The worst thing that we are dealing with right now is navigating terrible secondary roads. Our main access road was washed out on both ends, which caused the water lines to be busted and broken.
So give us a quick understanding of what lawmakers have done to help people like Sherry across Kentucky.
Right. So what Eastern Kentucky really needs right now is money. They need money to rebuild, to recover, to, you know, repair those bridges and all that infrastructure that's been damaged. So the package that lawmakers passed last week was more than $212 million to cover all of those types of expenses for at least the next 6 months until lawmakers return for their next regularly scheduled session in January.
So Governor Beshear is a Democrat. Both chambers of the state legislature controlled by Republicans. This was an overwhelmingly bipartisan vote here. What was the tone of this special session?
It was definitely, you know, they've been saying all along, it wasn't even bipartisan, it was nonpartisan. So this was a very much Kentuckians coming together for Kentucky to support people who really have lost basically everything.
As you say, many people lost everything, including their homes. Was there anything in the bill for housing, helping people who lost their homes get into something new?
Sure. So there is a pot of money within the overall bill that would be able to be used on intermediate housing. Everyone's been saying, you know, there is money in there to help with housing. There are trailers on the way to help people get some sort of roof over their heads, and they anticipate needing to come back in the future to deal with more long-term solutions.
What about schools? Many haven't been able to restart yet. What's the plan?
Right. I think, you know, I do cover education first and foremost, and I truly don't know how they're going to be able to reopen. You can walk through and see the flood lines on the walls. You can see mildew and mold growing everywhere. Everything's been pulled from the classrooms in an attempt to get it clean. It's really, really bad. I believe Beshear estimated that districts out there are looking at more than $100 million in repairs and damages and even rebuilding costs.
Wow. This was just a special three-day session to get at these immediate needs. Lawmakers, as you say, won't return to the regular session until next year. So what's next? What are the greatest needs now as summer turns to fall?
Right. There's been a lot of concern about that housing piece, because I'm not from the mountains, but the people from the mountains say it gets very cold. So trying to get that housing in place, because there are people out there living in tents right now. So that's a top priority. Also, generally just moving from this kind of immediate recovery mode into a stabilization mode where everybody kind of has some sort of, you know, their needs are met, maybe not for the long term, but for right now. And then they can come back and find more long-term solutions.
Olivia Krauth is a reporter with the Louisville Courier-Journal. Thanks for your reporting.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
As we heard there, many people in eastern Kentucky just want some of their most basic needs met. Dr. Cassie Marshall is helping them with one of those needs, clean drinking water. She's a physician in internal medicine with Appalachian Regional Healthcare, and she somehow makes the time to volunteer with the Louisville, Kentucky-based nonprofit Water with Blessings. Dr. Marshall's been traveling around the region to distribute water filters and teach people how to use them. She joins us now from Martin, Kentucky. Welcome, Dr. Marshall.
Hi, thank you so very much, Lisa. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners and helping share our story from Eastern Kentucky.
And how about your personal story first? As a resident of the area, flooded 1 month ago, you say you haven't been affected as much as many other people have who had their homes swept away or lost loved ones. But what is normal life for you like right now?
We still don't have gas in our home. So, again, that's a mild inconvenience. We have a microwave and we have air fryers, and that's fine. We lost electricity for about a week, and then we've been without water twice during the last month. And then we were on, that was for about a total of a week, and then the rest of the time we were on a boil water advisory until a couple of days ago. But again, that's a real blessing because there's still many communities that do not have running water in their homes.
Right, and these are the communities that you're working with, despite all the hardships that you're still going through, and some of them inconveniences, some of them much more than that. Tell us about the people who you are meeting as you're traveling around the region. And how are you going about helping them access and, in fact, create clean drinking water? What do you do?
So Water with Blessings is a nonprofit organization that they've distributed 152,000 Sawyer 0.1 water filters around the world. They're in 48 countries. And the filter literally fits onto a 5-gallon bucket. And so we have demonstrations and distributions at our church, but we also go out into communities. And so when we find of a community or are able to make contact with a community that was especially hard hit during this flood, which unfortunately was about 9 counties. So it's very, very wide range of devastation here. And we meet in parking lots, we meet in churches, we meet, I'm trying to think of some other places, just empty lots that we can find. And I go and find creek water or lake water, river water, and I demonstrate how these filters work. They're medical grade and military grade. And then we distribute those to families. It's not quite been 3 weeks since they hand-delivered our first delivery. And within that time frame, we're almost at 500 filters that we've been able to distribute.
And so those people can go to the creeks themselves or go to the rivers themselves and get the water. Could you tell us about one of the families that you spoke with, perhaps who was in a tent or is just looking for enough water, not even to wash with, but just to drink?
Yes.
Tell us about some people you've met.
Yes. So when you go out into communities, you see families that are living together, you see tents. I've seen a tent on a trampoline that they tried to lift it off the ground to try to avoid any snakes and things like that. We've seen there are some communities they have several tents together because there's safety in numbers. There's tents that have children living in them. Their family, complete families have been displaced. It's truly a life-changing experience.
You say that you and members of the community are tired and don't
Yes.
want to be forgotten. Do you feel as if you have been?
I don't know that we've been forgotten. I don't know that we've truly been recognized. Like I said, we have seen churches, schools, individuals are what has come to our rescue right now. It's very difficult to see that here again, we're 5 weeks into this and that there's families in tents. There's children that cannot go to school because sewage systems and the infrastructure of water and sewage is still destroyed. And that's just really hard for me to comprehend that we live in the United States of America and that we can't fix sewage systems so our children can be in school.
Are you saying that there are things that the state or the federal government could and should be doing that aren't happening?
I mean, certainly that's not my line of work, but I don't understand why it's not, because I feel like, again, living in the greatest country in the world, that we're sending billions of dollars overseas and we can't fix a sewage. I can't comprehend that.
Can I ask you what you're going to be doing today as the day goes on after we hang up?
Yes. So today I have my clinic, and as I have a little bit of spare time throughout the day, I'm coordinating other demonstrations. And then when I get off work this afternoon, I will go to the Kentucky Home Place Community Center, where we have a scheduled demonstration and distribution for the Sawyer filters that have been donated by Water with Blessings. And we'll go out into the community and meet with people and, you know, let them know Water with Blessings says, we know that there's so many things in your life that we can't control right now and seem so overwhelming, but we can give you the power of clean water and safe water. And so that is a strong message and a message of hope when we take these to the community. So I'll be doing that as soon as I finish clinic this afternoon.
Yes, in all your spare time, a term that I can't believe you actually used, but I'm grateful you took the time to talk with us. Dr. Cassie Marshall with the Appalachian Regional Healthcare, volunteers with the Louisville, Kentucky-based nonprofit Water with Blessings. Good luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you so very much.